Oh, wow. Okay. Live again from, I almost said New York City. That doesn't make sense. Live again from, where am I at? I'm in Reading. I'm back in Reading again. So I'm going to wait for Chris to come in, and then we're just going to talk about the news, because what is going on in the world today? So it's been a wild ride. How you doing, man? I hope everything's all right. I hope everybody's safe. Waiting for Chris to get in here, and then we're going to start the show. Happy New Year. I got a New Year goal of hitting 2,000 beers by the end of this year. I'm at like 1,130 something. So it like evens out to like 2.5 beers a day. So I'm definitely having another one on this show. Chris said he was ready, and now I can't find Chris. So I'm just going to share this with a couple people while we wait. But until Chris gets in here, I'm going to share what I'm drinking. I am drinking, it's a collaboration with Fair State Brewing and Burial down in Asheville, and I'm trying to, Sastrugi is what it's called. It's a double dry hop, cool fermented hazy IPA with Strata, Mosaic, Cryro, and Columbus Cryro. So I've been seeing Cryro hops like popping up all over the place recently, and I am very interested. Is this a new thing, or it's funny, I got two beers from Tavor that had these, and now I'm seeing it everywhere. What up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Have you had any cryo hops yet?
Spell that?
C-R, like cryogenics? C-R-Y-O, right?
Cryo hops? No, I have not.
Okay.
As I set up here.
Everything I've been drinking has had these hops. Like, this is my third beer in the last week that's had this.
Trying something out here, but of course, Instagram has to go fuck it up.
Are you eating sushi?
I am eating sushi.
Without me?
Yes. I went to Wegmans, man.
I said, are you eating sushi without me like we've ever had sushi together?
Have we not had sushi together?
No, like it just hit me.
Wow, that's actually insane.
Fake friendship. Over 20 years of friendship and we haven't had sushi.
Wow. Well, since my phone is not, well, it's cooperating. Instagram's cut off fucking screen isn't cooperating. So just gonna go old school here.
Just another part of the system that wants to keep us down.
Oppression. What's it? Hegemony.
Hegemony.
That's a good beer.
What are you drinking, speaking of beer?
Yo. I have Lord Hobo Hop Evolution Double IPA. Limited release. It is 8% alcohol.
Ooh, what am I?
And it is, yeah, what are you at?
Oh, it's only 7%.
This is bursting with citrus flavor.
Not bursting.
And juicy tropical fruit from the perfect balance of citrus, Simcoe, and Mosaic hops.
You gotta love a good Mosaic.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Simcoe wrong.
So.
Ooh, look at that.
Before we get into just talking about randomness today, I have a sample.
Wow. I do not.
That's okay. You don't need one.
Thanks, buddy.
But this is from Hi-Fi Set. It's called Sky Restaurant. Are you ready?
Sky Restaurant?
Yep, you ready?
I don't know.
Ah, what is going on? Okay, here we go.
J. Cole.
What's the name of the song?
Is it the one that's a year? Is
January
this just 2012
28th,
Forest Drive? Oh, January 28th. That's what it is.
which happens to
I
be
was about to say
today.
the album.
Which happens to be today.
Oh, it does happen to be today. I mean, if it were something more important with like maybe a Lupe or Kendrick Lamar, I could have remembered that the song to do a sample, but you know.
Yeah, but I had to drop a little bit of coal. Thank you. See, people know.
The second best verse on Black Friday.
That was a low blow.
You agree.
I do. I just don't understand why they agreed that J. Cole would go after Kendrick on that.
But my thing on it, it's not like an official release, so I think they just like cut it together and didn't really think about it.
But it's.
It still doesn't make sense. I don't know how J. Cole agreed to that. I wouldn't have agreed.
No, no way. All right, how have you been? It's been a minute.
Yeah, man. Well, I just found out today I got my promotion.
Oh shit. Well,
So,
congrats. We should have a beer.
celebration.
Yeah.
Let's have a beer. Let's have a beer to more money. Tink. I
All
mean,
right.
more, I do the same thing. More money.
More money.
And all the problems. It's not that much money. Have you ever heard of a seven pot pepper?
Seven pot.
Yes.
Does it?
Just thinking back on like the past couple weeks here, I have this ridiculously hot sauce. Ridiculously hot sauce. It's one of those that like a drop or two is good enough to burn your face off hot. Yeah. And the pepper is seven pot and Trinidad scorpion peppers. Terrifying sounder.
Who are you trying to kill?
It was bought for me. Who's trying to kill me?
Who is trying to kill you?
Also found it at a farmer's market. He was like, yeah, I'm getting the hottest one. And I was like, seven pot? I never heard of that. I didn't even know it was a pepper until I looked at the ingredient list. And then I was like, seven pot? Why is it seven pot? It's also a Trinidadian pepper. It's called seven pot because one pepper is enough to spice seven pots of stew. And if you ever had Trinidadian food, it is spicy as hell already.
Well,
So.
I feel scared. I feel like you are in danger. Blink,
Danger!
blink if you need help.
Just might be like that just might be like the loss of bodily function from the heat, so. I just start.
Seriously. But no, we'll definitely celebrate with a few beers. I know we have a. It's gonna be the first of its kind of our podcast episode where we just like sit down with the mix and match and just kind of do what we do here and just unwind and
Yeah,
take a little
except
break.
we'll be next to each other to do it.
Right. And then just to have that little break from all of our episodes, I think will be good for our listener base as well, just to be able to hear us a little more when we're not trying to
Yeah.
prove facts or anything and just be what the show
Talking.
originally was, right?
Yeah. I mean, the show was originally just two dudes and their random conversations over a beer. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be wild. As wild as these are, so.
Right. No, so I look forward to that. Have you gotten a
Have you
chance?
been? How have you been?
How have I been?
Yeah.
Well, my neighborhood in Philly has no craft beer.
Why is that, Tyler?
Oh, because it's North Philly.
Ah, yes.
hasn't been
It's in a black neighborhood,
it
right?
hasn't been completely
And
gentrified yet.
yeah. And as we know, black people don't like craft beer, so why would they have a brewery there or any type of craft beer?
Apparently not.
You know.
Oh, but I did go to a brewing company in Philly. It's called Love City Brewing Company. This isn't one of the shout outs that I know it may seem like this. It's not one of the shout
Very.
outs. They have another one coming. They might have like another two coming, three. But no, I went there. I actually it was four black guys. It was four black people there. And
Nice.
we went to Love City. I got to introduce Marquise Richard and Jalil to Love City. I wanted to again. I always want to support people that support us, especially if they are craft beer. And it was a good experience. They had I forget what the food truck was, but the ribs fire. The mac and cheese not it, but the ribs fire.
How do you have fire ribs but bad mac and cheese?
I don't know, but apparently.
You need to get Ryan's mac and cheese. That's what you need to do.
Apparently, I didn't notice at the time, but our server from the brewery, his name is Chalk, and I think he's an alternative black. So I wanna hit him up. Has a like pretty decent like following on IG, so try to get him in, try to talk to him a little bit more, see if we can't get some collaboration going because they wanted to bring us in with Harris family. And two brothers down in Philly as well. So that would be a really like
That would be
fun day.
amazing.
Yeah. So we got to get that going. But
Absolutely.
oh my
Until.
God.
What's up?
So
What's up?
Evil Genius gave us beer, right?
Did you drink it all?
I drank one.
Okay.
I forgot to bring it up. It is literally just on the top of my fridge in my apartment because I'm like, I can't drink this. This is for Chris and I.
Oh, Tyler, Tyler, Tyler. God, I'm supposed to be the forgetful one, not you.
I guess you just need to come down to the apartment. We'll do some things in Studio B and we'll drink.
Wow, that sounds like not what we do ever.
Right.
How's your beer, by the way?
Is solid. It's a really good hazy. I like that they call it hazy and not like a New England. That's starting to bother me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
Do
know.
you run can you run back, Tyler, quickly what it is
Yeah.
since we were kind of giving off our beers before people were in here?
Right. I'm gonna go on my little rant real quick. I think if you're not in the New England states, you shouldn't put that you're a New England IPA. You might be able to say you're a New England style IPA, but don't call yourself a New England IPA if you're from like Texas.
Man, you are a stickler today, huh?
No, I don't know why that bothers me. Like, you're not in New England.
So, okay. How many New England IPAs from New England have you had that were classified themselves as New England IPAs? So,
I didn't say this was rational. It just bothers me.
just anger, rational or irrational, it doesn't
Sometimes I
matter, it's
just
just
get
anger.
angry.
Oh man. So where is this brewery from then, Tyler, if not from the New England states?
Well, that's what I'm trying to see. It's a collaboration beer.
Gonna be like from a brewery in Vermont, you're gonna be like.
where's Fair State Brewing Company? Let's take a look before I'm completely
Is
wrong.
that one name or two? Fair State Brewing Cooperative in Minneapolis.
Oh, no, it's in Minneapolis.
They're north.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. And then the other one's from Asheville. It's Burial.
All right. Mine's from Massachusetts.
I know. I saw a lot of Lord Hobo when I was in Boston.
Or Woburn, and it was probably some really Boston-y way to say that.
Whoa,
And there goes our listenership in Boston.
yeah. But this is called Sastrugi.
Sastrugi?
Yeah, it's a double dry hop, cool fermented hazy IPA with Strata, Mosaic Cryo, and Columbus Cryo.
Cryo. You were talking about cryo. This is the first beer you've had with cryo
Like
hop?
third beer with cryo. Like I've had three beers this week with cryo hops.
But before that, it was before this week, you said it. You haven't had it
Not
before.
that I know of. Like nobody was saying like, oh, this is this cryo hop. So what is a cryo? I know I put it somewhere. Here we go. Cryo hops is the concentrated lupulin of whole leaf hops containing resins and aromatic oils. It is designed to provide intense hop flavor and aroma, enabling breweries to efficiently dose large quantities of alpha acids and oils without introducing astringent flavors or vegetative material.
Oh, I'm reading the same thing you are. Oh, so they're literally taking the essences of hops and freezing them and then using them.
Hold up.
That's what it sounds like
Is
to me.
this essential oils for beer? I did not sign up for this.
Oh God, Tyler, you are just such the basic white girl, aren't you?
Is that not what that sounded like?
It sort of does, man. It really does, and it's hilarious because I know you love your pumpkin spice lattes in the fall, so now you have your beer equivalent of that.
Expose me like that?
Oh, like we couldn't tell.
Right. Don't know, it could have been a secret. You
Could have
don't
been a secret.
you
You don't
don't
know me, but lupulin is a bitter yellowish powder found on granular hairs beneath the scales of flowers of the female hop plant.
not raping.
It's obvious. Look, he's dressed for it right now. Got the flannel.
Flannel season.
He might have Uggs on.
Okay, that is a line I will never cross.
Yeah, that's a good thing, Tyler. I couldn't imagine you in Uggs like Tom Brady.
Who's yet again made it to a Super Bowl?
Ugh, sickening. Very sickening.
Do we even talk about that further, or do we just let that die?
No, let's just leave it there.
All right, cool. I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about what you were talking about earlier, which is money. What you titled the show as.
Right, so I guess we have to do this. It's relevant, so we have to talk about this.
Yes, it's relevant. Let's talk.
Relevant. I don't know what it's been. I've been like out of the news cycle for a little while. Like I did a concentrated effort at one point to really not pay attention to some of my social media. So that was Twitter. And one, I feel like an idiot for not paying attention to Twitter now.
I haven't paid attention to Twitter since its birth.
Two, I wish I would have had like a little more of a focus on the stock market as of late, because holy shit, did Reddit just completely
Yeah.
you know what? They didn't even change the game. They allowed the game to be played by a lower level player. And then we immediately saw the higher ups, who we saw the dungeon masters, the people that were
Yeah,
running.
start like start panicking
Right. Say, whoa, hold up.
and
Hold up. You don't get
going to
that
shut
until
down.
you don't get that until you're in the 1% of this. Like, we got to change this. So, we saw some stocks just go crazy. We saw Reddit basically go, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take GameStop and we're going to just short it. And you just saw the stock fly. And so they started identifying these other stocks, and people were starting to invest in these things. Myself last night, I'm like, okay, GameStop, AMC, Nokia, I'll bite. I see the success. It's not gonna be the same numbers I know that other people are going to be able to experience. But I'm game for this ride. Put in, I think, like nothing, $50 each, to be sold, I mean, to be bought in the morning. And thankfully, like, I'm freaking crazy about this kind of stuff, so I kept checking what was happening.
Yeah. Were you doing like the refresh, refresh, refresh?
And there's a live option, so you see like the ticker like going up and down the whole time.
Oh.
I'm just watching, and I wake up in the morning. I was supposed to be at Frommeth at like 10. So I got up. No, I was supposed to be at 9, and then I got pushed to 10. If I was at 10, I would have never seen this. And I don't know where I would be in the situation, because I checked in early, and Robinhood was the app I use, and they were basically saying, oh, we no longer offer all of these. We no longer offer any of these stocks.
Oh, really?
Oh
When did,
shit.
wait. What's that? Oh. Cicely Tyson.
Wow. Yeah.
How old was she?
Yeah, she's 96. But still, rest in peace.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully it wasn't, hopefully it was just, hopefully it was just regular old age and
Yeah,
nothing worse.
that's breaking. Like, that's breaking news. That happened within the last like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
Man, this week's crazy. This whole month has just been.
Well, they said every Wednesday has been something ridiculous. Right, that's what I was saying. Like, her, like, that's what I was looking at. It was like she just was in the news cycle, Cicely Tyson, because of this book. And it's just.
Yeah. Wow. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. And it's weird. It's kind of one of those things. It's like, yes, like she was 96.
December 59, 2020.
What it feels like. It feels like we're still in that godforsaken year. This month has not. I feel like a lot of people took like that arbitrary, change over to from 2020 to 2021 as okay, this is a reset. It's never a reset.
I think we got the little blind like guise of Biden coming into office, but at the same time, there's still all this other shit that's happening. March.
Right, yo, listen, I was on vacation in New Orleans, came back, and bam, quarantine. Literally just slid it under the tag on.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, I don't think we're getting hit as hard this January, because, like, think about it. Monday's February.
Yeah, it this has been a it's weird, it's been a quick long month. But I mean, you had a treasonous terrorist insurrection of the government,
The failed
and that,
insurrection.
yeah, but that in itself just makes this month awful.
That's
you know,
cool.
you can't really get around that one.
Wasn't that a Wednesday?
Was that Wednesday or Thursday? No, it was Wednesday. It was a Wednesday.
Invited by the president. Incited. I'm just reading.
Invited and incited. He acted like he was inviting them to come along with him as they marched on the Capitol, and then he ran the other way back to the White House.
I could really go off on this because this is the Dave Moses.
Go ahead.
The Dave Moses conversation. Okay, so I have to. I have to clear a few things here. You know what makes this different from everything else, and while you're comparing us to everything else, well, what about everything else? I cannot stand the like rationale behind any of these things. Yeah, exactly. Biden and Harris sworn in on Wednesday. Then you have the GameStop things was happening on a Wednesday. Like Wednesdays in
that's true. Yeah,
we're nuts. Nuts. Also, hi, friend.
Hey, Joe Nathan.
Joe,
how are you? I love how our beers look exactly the same and we drink at the exact same angle there.
At the same time. Oh, we haven't been doing this for a while now.
This is what these are, though. You know, these are just kind of informal check-ins, chilling with the people. How can you get hedges? You want to be rich? Well, it depends. Do you want them in a fund or do you want them in a plant? Sorry, that was a bad joke.
I think they got some at Home Depot. All right, so we're all into this greenery.
We just put together a savings account for just greenery. What is it called? Topiaries?
Yeah, topiaries. I need a shrubbery.
Who has a house alarm system anymore?
You heard the beeping.
Mm-hmm. Was the front door open?
I didn't hear them yell which door, so maybe it's okay.
back to
the hedges,
Reddit and the hedges and things like that. Like, it's hilarious. I was reading a few articles, and some of the quotes from the people that are kind of in the finance industry and how they've kind of been like, oh, these blah blah blah, this is dumb and stupid, and they're, you know, it's not going to last. It's like, I don't think anyone's expecting this to just last. You know what I mean? At least, maybe some of the people doing it think that, you know, they're revolutionizing the game or something. But I think all it comes down to is they're sticking it when they can to these gigantic hedge funds, these big corporations.
Yeah, like, a couple of the big things that I've seen come out of this is, one, what happens if the average person adopts the same principle, but it would take a whole bunch of people to buy in on this, right? It's not like, oh, we all know the secrets to the game. I can just do this on a whim with any volatile stock. It was like, no, okay, GameStop, we've identified this. Let's short the shit out of it. We're all going to invest into it. It's going to come up and we're going to sell it short, right? And it's going to fuck with a lot of people. And it's going to make also the average guy, like, it's going to expose things. And then, two, what that does then, after saying, look what happens if collectively you attack something like this. The second element is then watch what happens clearly, because everybody's been talking about how the puppet masters are puppeteering, right? How all of this has worked. This has been people preaching about this forever. And it was a very easy way to put this in the limelight, because what happened? Robinhood said, oh, we're going to prevent you from buying into GameStop, from buying into Nokia, to buying into AMC. And I forget what the somebody basically bailed them out at one point. And there's this collusion essentially that is happening with like Wall Street and these bigger like firms that are usually doing these same principles. And it's like, look, they don't mind playing the game like this unless you're playing the game like this.
Yeah, that's really what it came down to. Like it's
Oh,
funny
thank you.
because
Yeah.
hard for me to see from this far away. Yeah, exactly. My takeaway from it is the fact that, but they're doing something that technically is the staple of the industry. You know what I mean? This is what these big firms, these big heads, that's what they do. They bet against certain things and they crowdsource all that together. And with their gigantic influence, certain companies drop their value because of that. I think Elon Musk has like a bone to pick with a lot of these hedge funds for the way that they didn't buy into Tesla. And
I'm sorry, I'm loving the chaos.
it's funny to me because I think there was a quote in one of the articles that was like, the fat cats don't like it because it makes them have to get off their butts and earn their money and earn their wealth, because they're allowed to just like, you know, things are, you know, set the way they are, and people that have the influence can just say things and bam, that changes, that makes them money in the market. You know, everything with money in terms of valuation, stocks and all that, it's such a load of bullshit.
Wolf of Wall
Because
Street, yep.
it's lit. Have y'all seen Wolf of Wall Street? I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. I haven't seen The Big Short. Have you seen The Big Short?
The Big Short, isn't that the housing bubble? I can't. No, I didn't see The Big Short. The Big Short's the other one. That's with what's his face? No, I haven't seen The Big Short yet.
The Big Short.
Oh, what's the housing?
Biographical comedy drama. Financial crisis of 2007
Wait, was that
and
with
8. The housing bubble.
Yeah, okay, that's who I thought it was. I've seen parts of this. Yeah, Christian Bale, but Michael Scott, wasn't he in it?
Carell?
I swear Steve Carell was in this.
Was a comedy. It was like a comedy movie, right? So
Right.
maybe. I'm so clueless on movies and stuff, it's like not even worth asking me a question about movies.
Yeah, see, Steve Carell is in it. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, exactly. It's Michael Scott's there. I couldn't think of his name.
Hey, Michael Scott is a hero. Well, he's not sure, but yes.
What did I call myself? I'm not sure. It's not for me to say, but yes.
Yes. I was watching a compilation of Michael Scott misquotes yesterday. He has some of the best misquotes. So I switched over to Mother Earth sectioned, and this is a hazy IPA, self-proclaimed hazy,
Huh?
not New England. This has Simcoe, Citra, Azeka, and Sultana hops. And it is thick AF.
Thick. Just like your mother likes it, Trebek.
Yo, Scott's Tots is the most awkward episode. Like I could barely get through Scott's Tots. Just because of how rough that whole premise is of like you just haphazardly offering to pay tuition for a whole bunch of underprivileged kids and then
That
having that not come through.
was a rough one. Oh shit, I felt like I had a whole like conversation based off of that in the stock market. Oh, that was the Wolf of Wall Street comment that I wanted to bitch about. I was watching like
Back to yeah.
all this happen, and then he's like playing tennis in prison. Which, don't get me wrong,
Yo, yeah.
like the prison like system needs to be changed, because it should be like a, it should actually be like a rehab thing, right? You should actually come out on the other side better. I'm not saying that you should have like this miserable experience and not like this dude playing tennis, like rah, like why is he having fun? But it's disproportionate to like this guy, what he did, like literally what they did, and the repercussions of that versus like somebody who sold pot and now states are selling it legally, but people are still serving time for it.
Yeah, that one never fucking, I still don't understand that one.
Right, exactly. White culture.
Yeah. White culture. Cocaine on Wall Street. It's white culture.
Why don't white?
You know, I had a coworker who she interned on Wall Street in like the, when would that have been? Like the 80s, maybe? 80s or 90s? And she was just like, yeah, it, like Wolf of Wall Street. Like, even then, it was just like cocaine everywhere. People working like 20 hours a day, and it's like, how do they do it? Oh, yeah, cocaine. That's how they do it.
Duh.
I'm like, ooh, Jesus. I don't know that struggle or
all right.
Non-struggle.
So talking about the power of Reddit real quick. Post-market gains for today. AMC is up 46%.
God damn.
GameStop is up 76%.
Man, I should have just bought in. I should have been paying attention. I should have just bought in. Lord knows GameStop has taken enough of my money.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh, I don't even feel bad about this. Because, like, what is GameStop doing? Like, I was like, okay, I have this game that cost me $60 a year ago. I'm going to trade this in. Okay, we can give you 50 cents.
Yeah. Here's 50 cents for this game that was $60 a year ago. Like, go fuck yourself.
Energy companies. Interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, like, the thing is, energy is so widespread, like, it's kind of changing over. Like, energy used to mean coal and oil, and it still means oil more than it means coal, but unless you're talking to 45 about clean coal. But solar energy is starting to come down in price. So we'll see, we'll kind of see where that goes, because like solar is great if you have a lot of money to invest into it, you know, up front.
Oh, that's the other element I wanted to discuss about this trading thing and everything that's going on. This is all well and
solar?
No, about trading, like this trading in general and all this stuff where people are like, oh yeah, you need to invest in GameStop today because we're going to like send it through the moon. That's fine with people who have money to fuck with.
To throw at it. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the one part of the discussion that's going on that kind of does bother me, is the fact that, like, I'm looking at this and even, like, being able to throw, I was going to throw $150 towards this. And that is nothing. Like, I'm talking about, like, there's people who are making thousands on this thing right now because they have the money to throw into it. And that's the other element at play. And that's the, you know, I've been seeing this all over Twitter, especially. It's just like, look, this system wasn't meant for, especially for black people, to, like, what I listened to was, it was Marquise and Elijah Wilson from Philly. He does a lot of policy work. And it was talking about, like, capital. It was like, how are you supposed to operate under capital, like, capitalism, when we were originally the capital? As far as...
Right. Well, just, if you go back and buy all the bullshit that the Constitution was made, you know, with everyone in mind, racially...
Right.
Then you go back and just think about that. It was made for landowners.
Right.
So people with capital. Like, that's the whole point. It's not made for people with no capital. And when you strip people of that and make that the only thing that matters, you know, in your society, you know, to be successful, then, you know, you're putting people at such a huge disadvantage. It's clearly not made for anyone who didn't already have something to start with. You can talk about lifting yourself up from the bootstraps and all this other shit. That's one in a billion chance.
I also love
that someone could do that.
Somebody said this to me.
And it's way worse. It's way harder to do these days.
Right. The bootstraps thing, somebody put this into perspective the best way I've ever heard. And it was just like, you can't tell somebody to pull themselves up from the bootstraps when they don't even have boots. Right. I was like, shit, all right. I was like, I've been trying to, like, figure out ways to go, like, against that, like, way, like, bootstrap, like, conversation.
Yeah.
And I hit all the heavy talking points, but I never had, like, a phrase like that to hit counteract on. It's like, how are you supposed to pull yourself up from bootstraps without boots? That was
very fun. It's so interesting. It's like, that phrase assumes you have something to pull from originally. Like, yes, the phrase means, like, okay, you're, like, down and you have to work hard and whatnot, but it's like, you're privileged enough to have, like, a piece of equipment that can help you work hard. That's not even the case for most people in the country, quote unquote minority.
Seriously.
Which is another piece of bullshit.
All
but all the bullshit. But there was a comment, where was it, about, like, back on, like, stocks and electric cars and how the U.S. wants to go into only electric cars. That's an interesting thought. That's environmentally, that's the next wave, because we've pretty much exhausted all we can to reduce and the environmental impact of industry without toppling industries. Mobile sources or cars are the only things left, and they are the largest emitters of air pollution in the country. But what can you do besides work on, you know, the cars themselves to make them cleaner units? You can't really tell people to stop traveling. You know, you can't do these types of things. So that's kind of like the challenge. Right now. And going to all electric cars would be probably the thing that could do it. The issue is, like, electric cars are fucking expensive. We don't have any infrastructure for electric cars at the moment. So, you know, all of these things, it's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to be like moving away from coal mining and moving into tech. Like, there's going to have to be a changeover that happens. So it's interesting to see how that's going to happen. And then also hold these companies accountable for cleaning up their cars. In the same token, because we saw what happened with Volkswagen years ago.
Fucking Volkswagen.
DEP has a whole page on Volkswagen.
I bet.
And all their bullshit. Ray, may nobody care about France? I'm kidding. Yo, Trey, what's up?
I'm still crying. No one gives a shit about France.
No, but honestly, Raven, no, you're 100% right. Like, public transport needs to be farther widespread than just within a city or within a small city area in all these different places.
I should not have to drive from Reading to Philly or from Philly to Reading. This trip that I just took shouldn't have involved me having to get in my car and drive here. I should have been on a train. I should have been on a freaking train.
or a rail car, or was it a magnet train? Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. And I get it. America, the contiguous United States is one of the larger countries, and most of Europe, are the size of states here. That being said, we don't even have intrastate travel figured out. Pennsylvania should be.
That should be the whole thing. Like, okay, fine, fight me on the size. Great. Show me a state that's actually doing it, like, flawlessly.
Yeah, right. And we have an excuse. We're a large state. Where's Massachusetts's great public transport system? In Rhode Island.
I didn't know that existed.
Facts.
I didn't know that existed. I wouldn't take it.
Right.
I wouldn't take it, but...
I mean, I'm sure you've gone to a tunnel to New York from New Jersey.
Yes, and it bothers
me. I mean, it's longer, but...
It bothers the shit out of me. I am terrified the whole time.
I mean, that's fine. I see why you would be terrified. We spring a leak. It's not like the dam's breaking. It's like we're done. Wait, has that been a horror movie yet or a thriller? Know. That needs to be a thriller.
Every time I go through one of those tunnels, I know I'm underwater. I'm just like, as soon as one thing goes wrong, there's no escape plan. I've tried finding an escape plan. They have made a movie about it. I don't want to watch that.
What's that movie called?
I don't care. I don't know if I'm crazy about this one.
Yeah, what's that barrier? I saw a barrier.
You know, me and barrier have a weird relationship.
You know, the place that I went to had a lot of barrier, and I just passed up on it for some Lord Hobo.
Yeah, this is Dead Presidents.
It's got to be good, man.
It's an IPA, and it's kind of funky.
Are they representing you?
Lay messed up on your daughters.
Oh no, I don't. I don't.
That song
it's crazy. Well, it's crazy. I know the Lupe Fiasco one word for word, but I don't know any other version of it word for word.
Nope. See, nope. I don't like that.
Oh damn! Of course, it's the Lincoln Tunnel bursting because that's like the iconic one, right?
Yep. No. See, I'm getting anxiety.
You know what always.
Just thinking, holy shit.
You know
what
blew my mind?
That's a hazy-ass IPA.
Yo, have you seen mine? Mine looks like orange juice.
It does. But this is just marketed as an IPA. Just an IPA.
You know what? I appreciate that because at this point, everyone who makes an IPA, it's hazy. Unfiltered. Like that's just like the standard now. So maybe you do have an argument for saying don't put New England on your can or your bottle. Maybe, just maybe, you're right.
But I also have another barrier here. I have another barrier in the fridge. It's a kicking knowledge. It's the horchata.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds real nice.
I can't wait.
Question. Where is Barrier located?
It's in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Where at? We're at, like, Albany, Ithaca. No, I'd be Ithaca Brewing Company.
Long Island?
Oh, New York, New York. Or close to it.
Yeah, anyway. Oceanside. I feel
Mother
like
Earth is California.
Yeah?
California and Indiana? Yeah. No. Idaho. Idaho and California.
Yeah, you are.
I am not. at all. What were you going to say, though? You were going to say something?
Oh, I feel
lost
like
it.
I feel like we looked up Barrier before. I feel like it was
because we had it on the show,
right? And I think
it was like one of our first five shows,
right? I think I brushed my teeth right before the show.
That's right.
That one
and it
show
was awful.
And then I was like, I can't take shit.
Oh my god! And I was like, why did you brush your teeth? Drink a glass of water. What the hell is what's wrong with you?
I was like,
you're gonna go taste something for the first time and you brush your teeth.
I immediately regretted my decision.
Hey, we're about to taste a beer and then rate it in front of everyone who's listening, which at the time was like five people, but still. And let me brush my teeth with baking soda and mint. That won't affect the flavor at all of a what kind of beer was that?
It was, like an orange juice like leaning flavor.
What did we rate that? Now I want to know, but like I'm on my work computer, so I don't know if going on Untappd would be like savory.
Just go on incognito.
I already clicked on Untappd.com.
All right. So the whole point of this episode wasn't to solely speak about stock, right?
Right. What else were we talking about?
I forget.
As I try to get on to our tab. You did have a point that you wanted to talk about, or a rant that you wanted to go on.
About stocks.
What was it? Maybe not stocks, but something paralleling what's happening. Because I think the one thing we didn't really touch on was Robinhood and its reaction to what was happening. And kind of that idea of trying to keep the normal person out of influence. And then the irony of it being called Robin Hood. And doing that. Ooh.
They're literally talking about it on MSNBC right now. I got distracted. I can't wait to.
What are they saying? Is it positive or negative, or is it just like this is happening?
You know what? It feels like MSNBC would be like, yeah, you do that, people, you do that. I don't know if they would like outrightly say that on air, but I feel like a couple people behind like the camera are just like watching their stock go up. Robin Hood.
Yeah, probably. Wait, Tyler. I just got onto our Untappd. We have 69 badges.
Don't drink a single beer.
That is the nicest amount of badges we could have.
The most perfect.
It's the most nice amount of badges.
Look, all right. So all right. I would apologize for our behavior and our humor on this, but we have been friends for 20 years. 20 plus
years. Probably longer. 20 plus years. It's probably like 22.
Right.
At this point.
So I think that is excusable for our sometimes childish humor.
I agree.
Right.
Also, can I just shout out Raven for Robin Hoodwink?
Run amok.
Because that is hilarious.
Bamboozled.
Remember we were trying to actually do reviews on these beers on our Untappd? I'm trying to find the kick of knowledge that we had. Because I just want to know what you tried to taste after brushing your teeth. Barrier Brewing. We gave this a rating of, you ready for this, Tyler? What do you think we rated this? Kick of knowledge.
I'm going to say it was around a 3.5.
275. He rated it a 275.
Now, to be,
we got a toast.
To be fair,
someone toasted it.
Catch. To be fair, I brush my teeth.
Ooh, buddy, man.
Yeah, but
I mean, okay. The rating is about an average rating. It's a 389 is the average. So I mean, that's kind of high, actually. That's kind of high. Yeah. Oh, man, we really killed this thing.
I don't know. I think my whole point, my rants, if it as it were, would be more on the side of, you know, I'm still very much on the side of, is this a system or a game that we need to be buying into and playing with? Is this, like, really what's going to help us gain this, like, generational wealth or, like, potential to even get there? Because, again, this game a lot of times deals with the fact that you have disposable income or disposable money to be even betting like this. I don't know. It's a tough question to be asked. I'm very much like, yeah, you know, some of the most successful people that you see have multiple streams of income, and stock is, you know, a very good option. And when you look at numbers, specifically, because when you're looking at just throwing something into a savings account, like, your return on investment is very, very fucking low. And basically you're just giving banks money to use, right? So I don't know what options we really have. I definitely want to look at this Greenwood, the bank that, like, Killer Mike and everybody's, like, really behind, the Black-owned bank. I want to see what that looks like. I think it's time to explore Black wealth in a different capacity that operates outside of the system that we know. And a lot of people have been saying this for a long time. I haven't put research into it. I don't know how much research you've put into it. I think that would be a really good topic to discuss and learn more about.
I agree. I think I haven't done much research on wealth building in general and what that looks like. And a lot of the resource out there is, how can you take advantage of the system? How can you do what the system allows you to do? So there's not a lot of working outside of the system in that sense. And that makes sense. That makes sense that there isn't, for the simple fact that the system we're talking about isn't just some random system. It's not, you know, some game. It's literally the economy and how you make money.
It makes what?
Money.
It makes sense.
You know? When you make dollars, you ain't gotta make sense.
Sorry, that was a great freestyle.
Yes, it's cold in the basement.
That was not a great freestyle.
Wasn't that the same one? Isn't that one in the same?
No, I'm pretty sure, like, the one you're making.
No, that's definitely. Wait.
Nah, that was in a car. Like, we were just, like, vibing one day.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Can you still freestyle, Tyler? What's that about?
Maybe I'll try tomorrow in the shower. We'll see what happens.
In the shower. Where no one can hear me but myself and my cat.
Sorry. Yeah, and then my cat's just there judging me the whole time. Like,
well, he's judging you anyway.
Right. That's why I wouldn't freestyle in front of my cat.
But I mean, his judgment is, did he give me food today? No. Okay. He's horrible.
Oh, okay. So freestyle while feeding the cat.
Oh, he's a fan.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Bangs.
Yeah. I think the other conversation I wanted to have was around Clubhouse.
That's right, Clubhouse, or as Joe Budden calls it, Chatty House.
So, one, I've been, like, getting in there more, learning more about it. And the first thing I will say is the rooms that I have been a part of have operated with such efficiency. It's unreal. I was really enjoying Clubhouse for the rooms I was in. And then I had someone hit me up and just like, look, I've heard some crazy things about Clubhouse and there's people talking on top of each other and this and that and the third and like all this other stuff. And I read the articles. Oh, this is really interesting. And I think I jumped into one or two other like chats and I started to see what was like the conversation that was being had. For me, it was really exciting to get into Clubhouse. You were with me when I finally like the golden gates were open for me. And so rather than
I'm over in a diner.
Yeah, rather than talking to anybody or eating food, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I got to the first room I was in, Marquise moderated a conversation over like being called an Oreo. And so one, as alternative blacks, that was a really interesting conversation for me to be in. But also for like black people who have been called out on their blackness for other reasons, you know, regardless of the shade of their skin, just because of the things that they were interested in or the way that they spoke or because of their intelligence or something like that, right? So it was a really interesting conversation to hear the nuanced elements of Oreo. And then I've been able to jump into the rooms that I am consistently in now are the Monday night Black People and Beer, Black People and Craft, and the Wednesday nights are Women and Craft Beer. So the space is specifically for women. And I wasn't sure the first Wednesday that I jumped in there. I was like, I jumped in, didn't see any men, jumped back out, came back later, saw like Black Beer Traveler and some other people in there. I was like, ah, okay, cool. Because I didn't want to like disrupt a space that wasn't meant for like me to be in.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And those were some of the rules I was messing with and like trying to understand and get a hold for. But that's the cool element for me is being able to have that kind of community. Because shoot, I sent that email. I just signed up the podcast for Craft Beer and Brewing or whatever. That magazine, did you see that?
Yeah.
Right, so we had that magazine because I post my beer reviews online and someone was like, hey, if you want to learn more about like how to speak about it and talk about it, you know, go to the back of these magazines. These are going to be like really good for being able to discuss the beer more. And so I did that. And sure enough, Monday night, I'm in this conversation and one of the people in there, he writes different articles for them. And he's in like Thrillist and he's like doing these things. And there's all these different people that start like popping up through the Clubhouse. So it's been really exciting because besides Fresh Fest prior to, you know, like Clubhouse, like I don't know many other ways to really get engaged with the Black Beer community the way that I've been able to in Clubhouse. And this week was rough and I wasn't able to really focus in what was being discussed this week. But it is nice to know every Monday, you know, Brandon Montgomery, who's the Black Beer Traveler, is putting on that space for everybody to talk, 8 o'clock, and it's amazing. I love being in those rooms and hearing what people have to say, being able to speak and have people listen. Yeah, it's wonderful. Also, did you see what Oak Park just like released?
No, I didn't.
Their Black History Month like campaign.
Ooh, I need to look into that for sure.
Look at those cans. We need to like throw Rod some money and have like some beer smuggler come across the border. Oh.
Taver.
Awesome.
Is that the rant?
Awesome. Oh my God, you're right. You do have to rant about that. Thank you. Awesome. Trillium is finally available to be shipped to PA, but under some bullshit guidelines.
What are the guidelines? You have to be a business or some sort?
No.
Because you're a business.
You are limited to 192 ounces per year.
Per year?
To get shipped down to PA. And I was like, excuse me, I could walk in and buy that much at a place.
You walked in there and got that much at Trillium.
Right.
More than that, probably.
But it gets even deeper. You're only allowed to order a certain amount of ounce per brand. So the way that they do it is because each beer is labeled something differently, it's a different brand. But what
so
that
you
means,
can only get...
You can only get like four, like I think it's three or four four-packs a year, but only one of each. You can never like double up. So if you really like the certain beer...
So you just got to mix and match.
It is nuts.
You said 192.
Something like it was something ridiculous.
So if they sell 16 ounce cans, you get 2 6-packs a year. That's what that comes down to. If it's 12 ounce bottles slash cans, you can get slightly more. You can get two 6-packs and almost 3 6-packs out of that. But that's like next to nothing for a whole year.
Okay, the wait is over, Pennsylvania. Saturday morning at 9 a.m., you will be able to order Trillium beer shipped directly to your door via UPS.
The wait is over.
Yeah. Total order limit per month. The law states that no PA resident may order more than 192 fluid ounces per month. Okay.
Oh, per right? month. Okay. Wait.
No, don't say that, because wait.
I'm waiting.
The law states that no PA residents get more than 192 fluid ounces per month. This equates to 3 4-packs of 16 ounce cans. If more than three are added to your order, we will need to issue a refund. Brand order limit per year. PA also requires that no resident may order more than 96 fluid ounces of any single brand per year. This equates to six 16-ounce cans. But because we sell all brands in 4-packs, in practice, the limit is 1 4-pack per brand per year.
Okay, so this isn't a Trillium issue. It's a PA issue.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing. Pennsylvania is one of like the last of like two states that still has
these Quaker,
most of its prohibition laws.
Quaker ass fucking law.
Not even Quaker, like 1920s prohibition laws. Pennsylvania still has prohibition laws on the books.
That doesn't.
And it's weird because you can go out and buy a gun just by showing like, I don't know,
your
like
penis.
Your high school ID or something.
Where that?
Your what?
What?
You know, you can go out and buy a gun for hunting because, you know, it's Pennsylvania, you gotta hunt. But God forbid, you know, you want to drink a little bit. And once again, it comes back down to the more you withhold something, the less responsible it becomes.
Yes. The TV channel changed. I saw a fire, and I thought they were showing the Capitol building again.
I was making the comment that the harder you regulate something, or rather, if you outlaw something, the less responsible it becomes. What happened during Prohibition? People didn't stop drinking. No, it just became speakeasies and making it yourself. And that's inherently more risky than having a regulated industry with standards. And you see it with You see it with drug trafficking, even. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more danger in selling weed or whatnot, unless, you know, or if it was legal and it was regulated, yeah, it's going to be probably more expensive, but it would be safer for the frontline people, the people who are selling or the people who are buying. You know what I mean?
So it's funny that you brought up the drug like issue too, because there's always been like a or more recently there's been an interesting talking point that I've heard. It might not be a new thing, but it's the conversation again. It kind of goes back to the like, okay, drugs are, you decriminalize like marijuana and shit like that, right? And now businesses can do this legally, all this other stuff. But again, the what happens to be the effects on all of these people who were doing it out of necessity a lot of times ahead of time that got caught up into then the system where now they've been in prison, they get out. Now, they have this whole like criminal background and can't are having issues getting jobs again, all of this other stuff. Meanwhile, the same industry that they got locked up for. So now we're talking about we mentioned earlier about people who are still in jail for this stuff, but now people that are out of jail who are struggling to find jobs, but the same industry that they originally got put away for is now being advertised on like TV, which no, they're really not, but like
But now the government is making a profit off
right.
of
So
that.
again, it's this like whole conversation about like it goes back to my stock conversation about like investments and stuff like that. Like again, a system that's not meant for you to win.
Absolutely. That's so true. And I think that, in terms of petty drug crimes, that's probably the most blatant example of the fact that this system is not for you. You push the drugs into an underprivileged neighborhood, you let it run amok, and then you put in these crazy drug laws, this war on drugs, to basically criminalize people who don't really deserve it, to bolster your prisons and create free slave trade labor.
All right, because I was about to say, let's call this. I am actually over calling this the war on drugs because I really just want to call it what it is.
New slavery.
It's the war on, again, it was the continued war on black people. It was a continued extension of racism. Like,
Absolutely. Because it's because and the other thing is it's not like these people were just in these areas, in these underprivileged poor areas, like arbitrarily. No. Redlining exists. These people were pushed there by those in power. This is a concentrated effort to push these people into these areas. So it all connects. It all connects. There's never been a point in history where we arbitrarily were pulled back into it. It's always been a fight, and it's always been the struggle of trying to escape the fact that since we were slaves, and even after we were freed, they were trying to push us back into it. They were just trying to find a legal way to do it. And right now, it's prisons.
right.
That is the closest thing to traditional slavery in this country, because it's not like these prisoners are sitting on their butts all day. No. They are literally working their butts off for free while they're in prison.
Oh, you know what? They might. Okay. So it's not always quote unquote for free, because this is how the spin gets put onto this. So they get a wage, but usually that wage is then taxed on, but not by like the government in the same way that we are used to seeing taxes. It's usually the prison systems that are saying, like, oh, well, because we're providing this and this for you, we're going to take this percentage to, counterbalance the cost of X, Y, and Z to the
Which is
point.
complete, it's complete bullshit for one, because like you are making private prisons make so much money off of their inmates. Like the amount that they're spending on a particular inmate doesn't even come close to what they're gaining from having them be there.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. And again, talking about how I haven't been too heavy into the news cycle as of late, and maybe this is something that we'll address during the. We have an episode that's going to come out before our mix and match episode, but maybe on the mix and match, we can do a not so deep dive on the. And this will be just the one issue, and it won't be like a issue that spans over the course of time. But Biden has ordered a he's put in an order that terminates federal prison contracts. So I'm very interested in what that means, because it's supposed to put an end essentially to private prisons.
Wow, that would be revolutionary right now, because we went from public prisons to now the prison industrial complex is 100% an industry. It's completely industrialized. It is a privatized, corporate, whatever you want to call it, money-making scheme.
And we've seen exploitation of this in even the, like, especially the Pennsylvania area, more closely, like Scranton, like that whole area. They were sending kids to prison for, like, trumped up charges just because they got money per kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where you see the motive. It's like there are people that are so in disbelief that, people would be arrested for minor things and then given unfairly sentenced for minor things, always given the maximum or a higher end versus like next to like the lower end. Like if your sentence was potentially 2 years to 10 years, we're not even talking about whether you did it anymore. We're just talking about how you're seen by the judge. And if you're black, guess what? You're probably getting the maximum. And that's a big issue too. It's not just, we're not saying that there aren't bad black people. What we're saying is they've been put in situations where, they have no other choice but to turn to these things. If they aren't exceptional people to fight and rise above these challenges, and then when they do bad things, their white counterparts are treated far better than they are. So it's like they're being victimized twice.
Right. Sorry, I'm looking for something a little
I'm eating
unrelated.
sushi.
A little unrelated. Whew, all right. So I was going to comment on what we just discussed and been like, I feel very privileged for the amount of interactions I've had in like really stupid situations, especially those involving cops, where somehow
Yeah.
I was able to go
You?
to bed. Like, that's not always the option, right?
I can't imagine, like, sternly, maybe not cursing at a cop, but sternly lecturing a cop
Right, I never
and
did.
then walking away.
Right, I never cursed at the cops. Like, I've told them, like, I live right here,
You're
so I'm going
respectful,
to
but.
bed. Good night. Meanwhile, covered head to toe in pain. Clearly drunk with a sandwich in my head, sipping soda. I live right there. I'm going to bed. Good night. However, okay, so there's been a couple other fuck shit things that have happened through this week. So, one, I don't even know this woman. I don't know her name. I don't know her stage name. I don't know if I ever listened to any of her music. Have you ever heard of Dani Leigh?
Dani Leigh? That might sound familiar.
I might be pronouncing this wrong. Whatever.
Dani Leigh. No.
She definitely came out with a song called Yellowbone.
Oh.
And let me.
And what was that song about?
There was some problematic elements to it, but basically it sparked this whole like thing again where it's like colorism conversation came out. And maybe we'll discuss this on another episode more in depth so we can have all of the notes for this so that I don't speak out of like out of fact.
Ignorance.
Right. There are some issues that came about it with Yellowbone, and it was promoting, you know, like colorist ideas.
Light skin.
Right.
Yeah.
So then on top of that, there's a podcast called, is it called Crew Season? I guess it's called Crew Season. Have you ever heard of Crew Season?
No.
Well.
Not one bit.
They went off and said, light skinned men have it harder than dark skinned men. Within the black community.
Okay. That's a bit inflammatory the way they wrote it.
Do you want to hear something? It's like a 2-minute clip. Do you want to just like hear this clip?
What she was going
to. Sure.
Always.
Or at least they say.
Because you will see, what you see, a darker skinned guy with a lighter skinned woman, a lot of times.
The reason is that they say it's a masculinity thing. Say, you know, darker skinned men, they feel more protected. They feel more, you know, whatever.
Protected.
Mm-hmm.
They feel the darker you are.
You definitely know that. Anytime you talk about light skinned, nigga, what y'all say? Be soft.
Yeah. You acting light skinned.
That's a fact. You acting light skinned.
You don't have a
negative connotation with a dark skinned man.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. You feel like.
What?
Hey, this dark skin.
Ugly. They call him ugly.
Black, can't see.
Black, monkey. All type of shit.
Whenever you see you acting light skin, like, you, nobody says you acting dark skin.
You too aggressive.
You acting light skin.
You too aggressive.
Here come this pretty boy, light skin.
Why you always mad?
Here come this light skin dude being pretty. You don't say, oh, here go this dark skin dude being pretty.
But I just said.
Here go this dark skin dude.
It's negative. It's negative. But at the same time, like, for the light skin, it's like more praise. Not necessarily praise. You talk down. If a lot of times it is praise, and darker skinned people, they talking down on them. Like I said, they call them names, call them ugly, saying they too aggressive. Saying they mean.
No, bro. Yes. No, I've never heard a light skinned dude go up to a dark skinned dude and the first joke whenever they're speaking or anything. If they say anything, hey, you acting dark skinned.
That's because
here come this light skinned dude.
I got one. They'll say dark skinned, you a field nigga.
When has anybody said that? I've heard that a lot as a joke. Especially coming up, I can't ride with y'all. I've heard plenty of times that from y'all, here you go acting light skin.
Is that really an insult for a man?
An insult. You talk about my skin tone. That is an insult.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You calling them
for a dude to tell you that?
That's not an insult. You calling them pretty? You calling them soft?
So pretty and soft is. Now?
Like a lady.
Pretty and soft.
Your hands are soft like a lady.
Pretty and soft.
Yes. That's what the connotation of it is. Yes. Who do you call pretty? You call women pretty, right?
Y'all niggas is tripping from.
See, that's what the connotation is, right?
So the guy that's saying you call pretty soft is a dark-skinned male. So,
okay. Initial thoughts. One, those seem like very entertaining people to listen to. So the back and forth, the negative things that they were saying, the difference is One is a negative thing from outside of the black sphere. The other stuff for the other person is negative things from inside the black sphere. Like, all of the negative things that this guy brought up about dark-skinned people are negative stereotypes that are perpetuated by white people.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the sphere, into the sphere. All of the negative connotations of light-skinned people are coming from inside of the sphere. And that makes sense because you're closer to the white oppressor, so you're inherently going to, you know, push out and push against that. But that's kind of what I notice there, and kind of what I've seen. And so, in saying that, when we're just talking about inside of the black sphere, yes, like, it, you know, someone who's more light skinned or whiter passing has to work harder or prove themselves more to show that they are indeed part of the black sphere, you know. And I don't say that as necessarily a negative thing, because when you pull it out in context in society, you know, naturally there's got to be a place somewhere for darker skinned people to be the norm, to be, you know, the accepted stereotype, so to speak. Not the stereotype, but you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a space somewhere where they are it. They're the core.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to work out from there. And I think that's where the where you might say, quote unquote, the negative stereotypes on light skinned people come from. It's kind of a lashing back at the oppressor. Oh, you want to be more like the oppressor. You don't want to be like us or be yourself, so to speak. So I'm not saying it's a negative thing. I'm not saying that we necessarily have it harder in general. We don't. We have it easier in general. Absolutely, we have it easier. But is it harder to prove that we are there? That we are down, that we still experience something that would put us in this group of people? Yeah. I would believe that.
Hmm.
Yeah. And once again, like, it's difficult because it's not like I'm saying I want to be, you know, oppressed to the point that, you know, I am on your level of oppression. You know, we can't be sitting here and comparing oppression levels. You know what I mean? We have to understand the fact that we have a particular amount of privilege. And in that sense, I point out the fact that, yes, like, hey, the black community does have a hard time accepting light-skinned people as being part of the black community in certain instances. Is it everyone in the black community? No. Is it most of it? I wouldn't think so. But there is a group of people who do think that. And we have to realize that we have privilege because we're fair skinned. We have white relatives. You know, we have these things. We have slightly more privilege than, you know, our counterpart, our brothers, our sisters. And in that, don't be, you know, it's hard to not be defensive when it feels like it's a personal attack. And we discussed this with the Rashida Jones thing.
Yep.
But we just want to make it clear that we still exist in this space because from the outside looking in, we are still black. There's no getting around us. But at the same time, understanding why people might push against it.
Yeah.
And that's all, and that is, they say, is that.
Hey, and I appreciate having that conversation with you, and that's why I was really excited to bring that up, was because, you know, I get to have this conversation with a lot of people, but it's always interesting to be on that same wavelength with you, for the sense that, you know, being alternative black brothers. No, being biracial, like, really having to, you know, again, being in that clubhouse room and having the conversation around the Oreo and that conversation being held with a lot of, like, darker, like, skinned black people who were being called Oreo because of the fact that, you know, oh, they were smart or maybe were interested in different things that were seen to be not black. But then, you know, also on the other side where you and I come into it then would be being called Oreo before even getting an understanding of what our interests might be just solely because of being black and white and navigating in those steps as well, because there's always these different pockets and these different realities that we all exist in and live in and experience life. And so it's just, it's always interesting to me to hear these different perspectives. So I think this is, again, we've said it on multiple lives, on multiple episodes. This is very, very therapeutic thing that we get to do here. We get a drink, but we also get, we bring up real shit. We talk about, you know, real conversations that don't always need to be had. Sometimes they're just fun to talk about, but sometimes there are conversations that, you know, need to have a magnifying glass on, and that's why I'm always excited to hold these conversations with you. Also, I love the fact that we no longer get those, like, time limits that pop up. Do you realize how long we've been?
Yeah. Here? We're going 50% over our normal here.
Yeah. So
it would have been really nice. It would have been really nice for the solo episode when I had to interview three people if I didn't have to hold it to an hour. Because it ended up being like an hour and a half, but. It's so nice that we don't have this hard limit anymore because it's more informal. So, you know, it can go a direction. We could be on here for 30 minutes or we could be on here for 2 hours, you know?
And as long as Instagram doesn't take too much offense to what we had to say, it probably will get put out. So that's nice as well.
It is, but we did have a lot of buzzwords today. So we were talking about market stuff. So, you know, how that goes. We might be canceled.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we get canceled, like, the show will blow up, so.
Be the martyrs.
Right.
Self-martyrs.
Exactly. But that's it for everything that I wanted to talk about. How are you feeling?
Listen, man, I'm good. I think we covered about everything. I mean, we're going to have a podcast sit down soon.
Yep.
To kind of have another less formal conversation,
really,
maybe more catching up and whatnot. So, you know, it's been a hell of a month so far, and I hope that February is better. It's Black History Month, although, you know, there's kind of like a double-edged sword with that. And I'm sure we will be getting into that on an episode here soon.
Maybe that's what we'll, you know, our first February episode might not get into it as much, but maybe that's what the second one will be, is more of a.
Yeah, I think.
Because we can do that during the mix and match. I think that's something to like unload on. So.
Yeah. I think that's a topic worth getting into, kind of the history of Black History Month. Why is February the month chosen? And then also, you know, the idea of Black history not being American history, having it being being a separate idea when it's not. It is intrinsically American history. So.
Oh, and I have many things to say about that. So.
Many things.
Many things. All right. I gotta go. I need another beer, so I will talk to you later.
Me too, buddy. Hey, take it easy. As old Jim Bob would say, until next time.
Peace.